Good morning. Super excited to see everyone this morning. I pray that your time in your small group studies went well. And I pray that you came to church today hungry, not only for God's word, but also hungry for some soup and chili. Because as you'll see there in the bulletins, we are having our youth chili soup and fundraiser right after our corporate worship this morning. It smells really good back there. It looks really good. And I hope you guys are all excited for that. Another thing in your bulletin there, just to remind you about the Owenton Christmas Parade. It's going to be at 5 p.m. There's a box out there for collections. You can read that of what we're shooting for. If you've got any questions, you can talk to Sarah Patton, and she'll get you straightened out on anything you got, anything you want to know about that. All right. You've had this marked on your calendar for weeks, and so we know you're going to be here. December 14th is our True North Christmas program. That's going to be at 6 p.m. And following that, we're going to have our church-wide Christmas party, right? And so we're asking everyone to bring some finger foods and some desserts for us to hang out with and just to have a good time of fellowship. So December 14th, remind you of that. 17th, you see the information there. We're going to go out to the manor and we're going to do some caroling. But also we're going to have a luncheon, right? A luncheon around 11:30 to get everything ready, be part of that. December 20th, David Christmas open house. Our Christmas tree did go up yesterday. Melissa put our Christmas tree up. So slowly but surely, we're getting ready for everyone, and we look forward to seeing you there in a time for that. I have a thank you card to read for you this morning. Church family, last Sunday, we delivered 737 shoeboxes. Right? It's amazing. Yeah. The most we have ever packed. And so it's the most we've ever done as a church. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. I'm just going to read. So many children will be blessed. Thank you, Alan, for the use of your trailer again this season. Thank you so much to each of you who pray for this ministry. Thank you for packing shoeboxes, for donating supplies, and for your monetary donations. That's always important. A huge thank you to Simon, Mandy, Courtney, and all the children who participated in the dedication for the shoeboxes. We love hearing the children sing. A special thank you to Josiah for his sweet prayer. With much appreciation, Carol, Peggy, and Joyce. And so I just want to echo what they're saying there. Thank you guys for being a part of that ministry. Thank you for praying about it. And I know a lot of you participate in it year-round. You get things ready year-round for it. We love that. And we know that because of your efforts and God's grace, 737 kids are going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you had a part. You played a role in that. That's a great thing for you to do. It's a great thing for you to put your time and energy towards, and we're so thankful for that time. Something else we're very thankful for is we have Lottie Moon joining us with us today. We've moved into the Lottie Moon season, and we have a week of prayer. This week is you're supposed to pray for your missionaries that are abound, and Steve has found a video for us to show us.
To get here where we are today on the Big Island, it took a flight, it took a ferry, and then from where we are now to get to the places where we want to go, there are hours more ahead of us. This week, we're on the island of Chiloé. We're with Pastor Todd Meadows, pastor of a local church in Kentucky, along with Pastor Carlos Carrasco, pastor of the local body of believers here on the island, but also a national missionary. And together, we've had the opportunity to explore the island, to pray together, and to see where are the needs beyond the Big Island, as we call it, into little places and pockets of islands where there's no or little gospel presence. They're hard to reach. They're far away, a boat ride in a small boat across the ocean to get to a small island, a truck ride on dirt roads to get to someone's home. And then from there, a walk to other parts of the island to finally get to discover who are these people who haven't heard the gospel. Isaiah 42 verse 4 says that the coastlands will await expectantly for his law. And as we take the gospel further out, as we lean into this vision, we realize that we're leaning into the ancient promises of God. We can reach these hard to reach places because God has already promised us that the coastlands await expectantly for his law. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to be hosted by another believer who's working at another small church on the island. Having all of us together in the room, having a pastor from Kentucky, having a national Chilean missionary, an IMB presence in the room with this young man, Rodrigo, was a special time. It was a time where you see that God is bringing together different people, and you see that the vision that God has given over a number of years is beginning to take root, beginning to bloom, as we see God raising up people who can extend this vision on out into the future. God's word is powerful, and when we lean into the promise of God, when we partner together in the gospel, we can be assured that God is going to fulfill His promise for reaching the islands of Chiloé.
All right, so we want to encourage everyone to spend some time this week in your prayer time, thinking of international missions, thinking about ways that you can serve these missions. And through prayer is one of the main things, but also how you can support them. So add that to your prayer list this week. That would be a wonderful thing. We also get to celebrate a wonderful thing this morning. We have an anniversary to celebrate, David and Joyce's anniversary. Look at that. So that's a blessing right there in that picture. Very good. Also, if you guys get a chance and you see Lucy, tell her thanks for getting our sanctuary so beautifully decorated as we enter into this wonderful season. And it works out perfectly is because today begins the first day of Advent. And so we begin our Advent today. And we're going to do Sunday school classes this week or this year. We're going to do it that way. And to start us all off is our youth are going to come forward, and they're going to kick off the Advent season for us. Watch it. Hey, where are you going? It's lopsided.
The first Advent candle is traditionally called the prophecy candle. We rejoice that God prepares our lives through prophecy to receive Christ when He comes. The words from Isaiah 9, 2-7 prepares us to receive Christ as the child who comes to us in Bethlehem. Isaiah's words also prepare us to receive Christ when He comes again in power. At that time, He will fulfill the promise to be Prince of Peace and Wonderful Counselor for all times, and there will truly be no end to His gracious kingdom.
Isaiah 9, 2-7 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor. You have broken as on the day of Maiden. For every boot of the tramping warrior and battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire."
"For to us a child is born, to a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this."
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us this time to do Advent together. Thank you for giving us the time to be together and worship the Lord. We pray that we can all get home safely today, and we pray this in your name. Amen.
Advent season, we're reminded that the Lord fulfills His promises to us, and He has promised to send His Son for us and die on the cross. And we know that that is a blessed assurance that we have, that every promise that he has given to us will come and be fulfilled. So I invite you, if you're able, let us stand and let us sing of that blessed assurance, who is Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Our Savior all the day long, for he gives us that sunshine in our soul, and we praise him forevermore. So let us sing this morning. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King, and Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today. For when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart. The flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love. For blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. There is sunshine in my soul. Amen. Psalm 98, verses 1 and 3. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. What a wonderful psalm to be able to begin our Advent season. All the nations have seen his salvation, and they have seen it in this time through a baby in a manger, who his son has come to this earth to save us from our sins and give us eternal life. So I invite you, let us all come, all those faithful, and let us praise our King. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, cried the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning, Jesus, to glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Adore him, Christ the Lord. And we sing with all the celestial hosts, glory in excelsis Deo. So let us sing. Angels, we have heard on high sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria. come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. And see him in a manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid while our hearts in love we raise. In excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo.
Amen. You may be seated.
Psalms 27, 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall through an army encamped against me. My heart shall not fear. Through war arise against me, yet I will be confident.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. Thank you for this Advent season that is upon us, Lord. I just pray that we don't forget the true meaning of this season, Lord, with all the hustle and bustle around us, Lord. I ask that this offering that we're about to receive, I pray that we use it the ongoing work of your kingdom, Lord. And I just lift up Michael as you speak through him today. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, our kids will head on off to Children's Church where we pray for their time. We pray for their leaders. I encourage you guys, once you pick your children up, and we do appreciate when you pick your children up at some point, I would encourage you to ask them what they talked about today. You know, there's no reason that these young people can't be held accountable for their lessons. And I think that's a good thing to let them know that you care about it. All right, if you've got your Bibles, you can be turning to Isaiah. That's Old Testament, to help out a couple of you. Also, to let you guys know, you're probably thinking we'd be in Matthew. We're going to hit the pause button on Matthew for a couple weeks as we have some more time together, focus more on our Advent season. We're going to take a look at some different things, but don't fear. We will be returning to Matthew very soon, probably January. We'll be right back in there finishing it up. But to give you an idea of the context of Isaiah, anytime you read scripture, you should always be concerned with the context, because the context helps you tremendously to understand what's going on in the book. And so in Isaiah is a prophet, and he's been sent to the northern kingdom, and the northern kingdom is lost. They are as lost as you can be, right? They have turned away from God. They have turned away from worshiping him. They have turned to pagan nations, and they're making deals with pagan gods, or pagan kings, I'm sorry. And the nation is slowly but surely beginning to worship things other than God. And so they've got a problem with idolatry. They've got also a problem with every type of sin you can think of. And it's just a very dark time for Israel. The other thing that's important to understand of what's going on in Isaiah is the Assyrians are ready to pounce upon them at any moment. The nation of Assyria is breathing down their throat, breathing down their necks, and they basically know they're going to be conquered at any moment. And so, quite frankly, they've kind of lost their hope. They've lost their way. They've lost their hope. They've kind of thrown their hands up in the air, and they've decided to walk in spiritual darkness. And so it's a very dark time for the nation. And so God raises up Isaiah, and Isaiah goes, and he gives them, in chapters 1 through 5, it's basically, man, he just sandblasts them, right? He just tells them, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. He's doing what prophets do. He's laying it out for them. But the wonderful thing, and this is why we're looking at it today, he does give them a prophecy of a great hope that's coming. And that's what we celebrate this Advent season, is the hope in Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to reread it. I know our youth read it for us this morning, but we'll read it again to kind of get our heads wrapped around it. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, God's word says this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time that you've given us to gather with the church, to lift up songs of praise. Lord, we're so thankful for our musicians that lead us, and so we're so blessed to have them. And Lord, we're also blessed to have a church that believes in singing, that sings out loud, that sings as it should be done, as an act of worship. So Lord, we thank you for that. We know that you're the only thing in our lives worthy of worship. And so Lord, we just appreciate that time to be producers of worship for you. Lord, we thank you for this time that you give us right now to be still and to open up your word and to have the Holy Spirit come alongside of us to guide us and teach us and show us things in Scripture that have always been there, but maybe were unknown to us. And so we can grow in our understanding of who you are. We can grow in our understanding of what you call us to do. And Lord, specifically for these verses today, we can grow in our understanding of how thankful we should be that you keep your word, you've never broken a promise, you have always done what you say you're going to do, and that gives us hope in your word, that gives us hope in Jesus Christ, and it also gives us hope to go out every day into the darkness and be the light. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so we jump in today, our Advent season. Advent is just a fancy word that means coming, right? And so you can do Advent for a lot of different things, but we as the church, we have Advent because we place our hope on the coming of Jesus Christ, right? Who has already walked the earth, and in one day, as Scripture tells us, is that he is going to come again to do that. And so that's why we celebrate the Advent season. One of the things, and you guys know I like numbers, and the fact is this, is that statistics are everywhere, right? You can put a statistic on everything. The one that always gets me is that 60% of Americans play the lottery, right? And so, just average speaking, some of you all play the lottery, and hey, that's on you if you decide to do that. But the odds of winning the lottery, of course, this fluctuates based on the number of tickets or how big the prize is. But the odds of winning the lottery are 1 in 292 million, right? Those are not great odds, but 60% of the people go every week and buy the tickets again, thinking, hey, as the slogan says, somebody's going to win, it might as well be you. Well, it might be you out of a 292 million people, the odds aren't great. Right, we use odds for weather predictions. I was looking at the weather this morning, trying to figure out what the weather's going to do. Your 401k investments, all of that stuff is based on odds. And so it's really interesting that when we come to this bit of Scripture, we come to this prophecy to understand what are some of the odds about Jesus Christ. The reality is that when we look through Scripture, scholars help us figure this out because it's difficult to put a number on some of these things. But Christ fulfilled over 200 Old Testament prophecies. Right, and so the odds of someone fulfilling 200 of these prophecies is basically a number that we can't understand. It's such a large number. It's this massive number. And the reality is this, is that God does what he says he's going to do. No matter what the odds are, he does what he says he's going to do. And so the first thing I want us to look at this morning is in verses, chapter 9, verse 2 there, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And so the first point is this, is that God promises us light in the darkness. This is what God promises us, right? And so the thing that we have to understand is that, and we don't really have the time this morning, right? We're not going to walk through the whole book of Isaiah. We don't have the time to flesh that out. But the reality is you and I have something very in common with the nation of Israel that we see in Isaiah, is that they are living in darkness, right? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. The reality for us is at some point in our life, we also were walking in darkness, right? And we have to understand, and man, we live in a time, and I know bookstores are a thing in the past, and most of you, it's hard, you can't even find a bookstore to go to anywhere. But when bookstores were still a thing, they're always, the largest section of almost every bookstore were self, was the self-help section. Entire walls and books after books after books of how you can do this, and how if you can just try, you know, chase after a better diet, or if you can chase after a better mantra, you can improve yourself. And what we have to understand, and this is what Scripture is teaching us, is that hope doesn't come from within us, right? Right? Hope, it shines on us because God loves us. And that's an important thing. Let me say that again, right? Is that hope doesn't come from within us, right? We cannot hope in ourselves. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. I have let myself down more times than I can say. And I am more concerned about me than I think anyone else that's ever walked the face of the earth. I'm more concerned about me, and I continue to let myself down. And so we can't hope, can't come from within us. It's given to us and it's shown to us through God. And this is what Isaiah is trying to get the nation to understand there, is that where does this hope come from? It comes from God. Right? They can't hope in their military. They can't hope in their leaders. Their military is going to let them down. The Syrians crush them very soon after this. They can't hope in their leaders because their leaders are making bad decisions and they're making deals with pagan nations. And believe it or not, they start looking more pagan and less Jewish and all these bad things. The reality is that our hope can only come from God. And that just as much as the nation needed that hope, so does our world today continue to need that hope. And that hope can only come from God. We can't put our hope in political leaders. We can't put our hope in our banking accounts. We can't put our hope in how good looking we are. Don't worry, that's never been a problem. I've never put a bit of hope in that. We can't put our hope in our jobs. We can't put our hope in all these things. The reality is, just like the nation and just like us, we have to put our hope in Jesus Christ. And that's a problem that we still have in our world today, is that we want to hope and everything else. And we want to put our faith in everything else. And those things continue to let us down. And we continue to live in this crazy world of darkness. And John, the apostle, or the disciple John, later become the apostle. This is a very common theme in his gospel and also his epistles, is he has this discussion between light and darkness. He loves to contrast God and light and Satan in the darkness, and he talks about this quite often. John chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The point I want to make to you today is, man, we live in dark times. There is no doubt about it. But you know what? And maybe this helps, maybe it hurts, I don't know. But the reality of this is every Christian has lived in dark times. There has never been a time on the face of the earth where there weren't dark times for Christians. And you're like, well, what about Jesus? Jesus was the light, but what did the world do with Jesus? They killed him. It's always been a dark time for Christians. And so don't think this is any worse than any other time. Honestly, it's probably a lot better right now to be a Christian than it almost ever has been in the history of the church. But the reality is this, is that even though when you go out there and it looks like dark days, and it looks like nobody cares about Jesus, and it looks like you're like, man, what is the point of this? Think about this, is the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And not that I have the authority to add to Scripture, I don't, nor do you. The light will never overcome the darkness. Why is that? It's because Christ has already won the battle. He's already gone to the cross. And they're like, well, we got him. We're going to kill him physically. And guess what? They put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he goes, joke's on you, I'm back. I've been telling you I was coming back, and now I've done it. So not only have I overcome a physical death, now I'm going to teach you about how you can live spiritually in eternity with God the Father. That's what we have to cling on to. We have this light. Paul writes about this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, let the light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So who was the perfect light that has been shown to us? Jesus Christ. That's the reality here. I was talking with some guys yesterday, and I thought about this illustration. You know, we live, you know, Kentucky's a very interesting state. A lot of really interesting things happen here. But when you get around Bowling Green, they have a cave system down there that is unique to the world, right? It's crazy. Many of you have been to Mammoth Cave, right? It's massive. That's why it's called Mammoth, right? It's gigantic. I've been through so many tours at Mammoth Cave. I think maybe I could give the tour. I don't know. And, you know, you go through it, and they get you to where they call the Great Dome, and you get in there, and it's huge. And, dude, you're deep underground. Like, I have to tell myself, don't think about how deep we are right now, right? Just enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. And the guy gets the guide. It could be a girl or a boy. I've had both. And they get you together, and they're like, hey, we just want to let you know. We're getting ready to turn the lights off in here. We just want to show you what it looks like down here with no lights. And I'm like, how bad can that be? And I'm like, do it. Let's let it happen. Boom. They kill the lights, and instantly, it's a darkness like you've never experienced. You literally cannot see your hand in front of your face. And like I said, I've been through it multiple times. And last time, I guess as I'm aging, I'm getting worse at these things, I started losing my balance because I had nothing to guide up and down. And I was like, whoa, I'm getting dizzy. I was like, flip that light back on before I eat it in here. And the guide, and I think it's different times, and the last time I was there, they lit a lantern. And they light that lantern, and then boom, the light shines out, and you're like, man, and you know, I'm not dizzy anymore, and you can see people, and it's not so crazy. And I think there's a really important illustration there is the darkness doesn't win by the strength that it has. Darkness has no strength. The darkness wins only when there's no light. And as soon as that guy clicks that lantern on or lights a match or lights a lighter, the light just pushes the darkness back. It's the same thing for us in the world we live in. The darkness does not win. It cannot win unless there is no light. And you know what we have? We have Jesus Christ, who is the light. And so that's why I feel confident in saying is the darkness cannot win, because Christ lived and died for your behalf and my behalf. So now we get to live because he is the great light. And so there is no eternal darkness for those that are trusting in Jesus Christ. Now the truth is this, and we have to talk about this, is that for individuals that aren't trusting in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, there is a darkness coming. And there is a shadow that's on their life. There is a darkness. They're hoping in the world, and they're hoping in themselves, or they're hoping in their work ethic, or they're hoping in so many things. And the reality is this, and I think this is everybody's testimonies here, all of those things will fail you and have failed you. There's only one thing you can truly hope in, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate today with the first Advent candle, right? It's known as the prophecy candle, right? Is that we're thankful for all of the prophecies that we have in Scripture that promise us who Christ is and how he is this great light, right? The second point that I want to make for us today is this, is that God confirms his promise through prophecy. Now, we just don't have the time this morning to talk much about this, as I really want to talk about prophecy. But there are two rules that you should apply to every prophecy, and you'll know whether they're biblically based or whether they're from man or from a woman trying to convince you of something. Number one is that prophecy has to point you to the true God. Every prophecy has to be about the God that we read in Scripture. Any other prophecy is false. We don't, like I said, we can't flesh that out. If you want to do some research on that, read Deuteronomy 13. It addresses that, right? The second one is this, and this is the one that's very important, because, and I know some of you all are sitting here like, man, why are we talking about prophecy? Who falls for those? All the time people fall for false prophecies. One just happened a couple months ago that people were emailing me about. They're like, you think Jesus is coming? And I was like, I know he's coming, but I don't think he's coming on this specific date because this guy told you he was, right? It's not. And so the second point is this, is that a prophecy comes to pass exactly as the prophet tells you it's going to pass. And there's only been the only prophecy that fulfills, points to the true God, and passes exactly are the prophets that we see in Scripture. Any other prophecy that you've ever read about, any other, any other false prophet, that's the nicest word I should use, any other false prophet that tells you these things, they are not fulfilling those two things. And then I think, you know, I know that one day I will stand in front of God and I'll give an account for my teaching and preaching, and I really do think that this would be a problem for me if I didn't address this. Is there's another truth here about prophecy, is that we don't have new prophecies, right? And why don't we have new prophecies? Because every day someone is trying to sell you a new prophecy. Some of you may have had somebody come up to you and said, hey, I want to speak a prophecy into you. And my response is, no, thank you, right? And why do we not believe in new prophecy? It's because all prophecies have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. There is no need for new things to be taught to you because Scripture fulfills all of those. And so I encourage you to be very wary of people that want to come to you and speak a new prophecy into your life. Or somebody on TV is like, hey, if you'll send me $100, I'm going to show you something new in Scripture that you've never seen before. Be very leery of those individuals because they are what Scripture calls a false prophet, and they are basically trying to fleece you for your money. Whereas you have free access to God in Scripture, and you have all the prophecy you ever need. Peter addresses this. This has been a problem in the church since prophecies began. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. You know, Peter ain't afraid of nobody. He's not afraid to put his foot in his mouth either. He writes this on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Period. It's not a period. I'm just saying, I'm adding period there. That's all you need to know. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Don't listen to that. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And this is why so often you'll hear me say, Isaiah writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit, or Matthew writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The reason they can write these, and the reason these books of the Bible exist, we call it the canon of Scripture, is because the Holy Spirit inspired these individuals to write this for. We know it's from God. The minute someone wants to start adding to Scripture, they're like, well, you know what? I'm going to write a new book of the Bible. Well, you can write it, but no one should listen to it. Right? This is one of the big problems with the cult of Mormonism, right? Is they believe that, you know, another prophet came to America and found a secret Bible and he dug it up, and now we have all this new prophecy that they like to preach. It's false prophecy. You shouldn't listen to it. Don't let them knock on your door. Don't listen to them when they're talking to you, because they are exactly doing what we see in Scripture. They are a false prophet, and that's very, very dangerous. Everything you need to know is contained right here in these books of the Bible. That's it. And, you know, I'm chasing this rabbit. I told myself not to do this. Here we go. I wonder sometimes why people fall for, I know Steve, right? I wonder why people fall for this sometimes. And I think I know the answer. It's easier. It's easier to listen to somebody on the internet tell you, hey, man, this is what this is going to happen. And, man, you should go buy some extra bread and get you some eggs and some milk. Right? It's coming to the end. This is it. Because that's easier to let this person hype you up and scare you than it is to open up your own Bible and read it. Because sometimes you're like, man, I don't even know how to say that word. You hear me butcher words all the time up here. It never stopped me. I just say them like I think they're supposed to be said. Right? I look them up when I can. The reality is this, is man, you got to put the effort in, right? Nothing in life that comes easy is worth much. And so you got to put some time in with Scripture. You got to put some time with some commentaries. You got to put some time in listening to God speak to you through His Word. One of my favorite things, and people are like, man, I just want to hear God talk to me. Talk to me, God. There's an easy solution to that. Read your Bible out loud, and you will hear God talking to you. Because God inspired this book. This is why it's so special. This is why it holds up to every scrutiny that is ever placed upon this book. It holds up to. Why? Because God spoke through the prophets and inspired it. Put some time into reading your Bible. Right, let me give you eight. These are prophecies that you for sure know about. Eight prophecies fulfilled. We're going to run through these fast. Born in Bethlehem. Yes, check. Born of a virgin. Check. Descendant of Jesse. I'm not going to quit saying check. Descendant of Jesse. Ministry begins on schedule. Jesus showed up almost exactly as the Old Testament promised he was going to. Preceded by a forerunner. You guys know who that is. My man JTB, John the Baptist, right? You know who that is, right? Ministry of healing and liberty. Light to the nations. And he entered Jerusalem on a donkey. Those are just eight of the prophecies that you know about from the Christmas narrative, right? And you're aware of all of those. And so people that are way smarter than me, they don't take much, JT, to be smarter than me. Do the math on that, and the odds of fulfilling just eight of those prophecies is a 1 with 17 zeros behind it, right? That means nothing to us. We're like, man, that's not what my checking account looks like. Mine either. Like, nothing's got 17 zeros in my checking account. But to give you an idea of what these odds of this are, imagine the state of Texas. Some of you have been there, right? It's huge. It's massive. I encourage you, find a map one day that actually puts Texas overlaid onto the U.S. to show you how big it really is. You'll be amazed how big Texas is. So imagine the state of Texas. Imagine silver dollars stacked 2 feet deep covering the entire state of Texas. It's a crazy number. It's like 10 to 1, 17, right? And then imagine one person turns over one coin that's red. That's the odds. The odds of you finding that one coin are the odds of Christ just fulfilling eight of these prophecies. And you'll recall, he fulfilled over 200. And so, hey man, math has never won anyone to Christ, nor do I think it should. But the point is this, is that the reliability of Scripture comes from a divine, sovereign design of Jesus Christ. The reason all this goes together and the reason it all works is it just points to how reliable the testimony of Scripture is about everything, but specifically also about Jesus Christ. What Scripture tells you about Christ is true. What it teaches us about Christ is accurate. What it tells us Christ has done is right. What it also tells us Christ is going to do is going to be right. And also what Scripture tells us that Christ is doing for us right now is exactly right. The point is this: you can trust your Bible. You can trust the prophets. You can trust what they're teaching about. Moving on, our third point, there's again verses 6 through 7. I'm not going to read it for you again because we're short on time. Is that the most, maybe this is the most important thing, is that God provides for us a perfect Savior and a King. Right? And that's what go through. What's he called there? Wonderful Counselor. You guys ever need a counselor in your life? You ever need someone to come alongside of you and speak some truth in you? You ever need someone to come and to be there with you and to help you? The most perfect counselor is Jesus Christ. It does all that. Scripture tells us that he is near to the brokenhearted. He cares about us. He is the wonderful counselor, right? He's also what? He's the mighty God. Speaks to his divine power. Why can Christ do all these miracles that we've read about in the gospel according to Matthew? It's because of his divine power that it talks about there. He's also this. God is also known as the everlasting Father, eternal protection. Now, we talk about this, and we always have to put an asterisk on this because I know some of you all did not grow up in homes that you had fathers that were, you know, admirable or were good and kind. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that happened for some of you. But when we talk about Scripture, about the everlasting Father, we talk about how God is the eternal protector and how fathers take care of their families and how fathers sacrifices and how they protect and how they guide. This is the Father, the eternal, everlasting Father. And he's also this. He's also known as the Prince of Peace. How can he be the Prince of Peace? Well, whether we acknowledge it or whether we like to think about it, there is a spiritual battle happening all around us, right? We are in a war, and we're at a war with sin, and we're at a war with self, and we're at a war with the darkness that we have in us because of sin. But the reality of this is that the Prince of Peace is the reconciler between God and man. Because if it's left up to us, we could never spend one nanosecond in the presence of a holy God because of our sin condition. My guess is some of you fought it this morning, getting to church, maybe getting your kids ready, maybe getting yourself ready. You're like, oh man, I'm just fighting it. There's just something in me. I don't want to do this. I don't like this. The reality is this, is that because of just that simple sin, you can never be in the presence of a holy God. But you know what? God loves you so much. What he did is he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to be that bridge for us. That he could go to the cross and he could die for our sins. And then when we put our faith in him, we get to put on his righteousness so that we can spend eternity in the presence of God because of who he is. He is the Prince of Peace. He reconciles these things. And so all of these titles point to Christ's divine nature, his role in redemption, and how all of this is grounded in God's perfect word. Right? Luke chapter 1, verse 32 through 33. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is what Scripture promises us. And what did Christ do? Exactly what Scripture says. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. Remember, let me tie this back in with Matthew real quick for us. Remember, Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to a Jewish nation. And one of his main themes is establishing is Jesus as Lord. Jesus as has the authority. Jesus on his throne. And look what it says in other pieces of Scripture, right? It talks about your throne, O God. It's making that connection. It's a beautiful how Scripture all just fits in together. And let me tell you something. The more you read it, the more connections you'll start seeing. You'll read something, you're like, Bethlehem. We're going to talk a lot about Bethlehem next week. We're reading about Bethlehem. You're like, well, isn't it called the house of bread? And isn't Christ the bread of life? And you just start seeing all these connections make themselves. And you're like, man, that's amazing. You know why it's amazing? It's because God wrote it. The uncreated creator of the universe that spoke everything into creation also loved you so much that he wrote this down for you so you could have a better understanding of who he is. Can we ever fully understand God? No, because we're not God. But his word helps us understand that, right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 through 11. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, this is something that I think is so important for us to understand, to see this authority and to see this loving obedience that we should have towards Christ. But one of the things that one of the characteristics that I personally love so much about the Trinity is the fact that it's unchanging, right? The $2 word is immutability, is what that's called, right? Is it's unchanging. And so we live in a time, man, I'm 52, right, Melissa? I just had a birthday. I'm 52. I think I'm 52. I got it wrong yesterday. I told someone I was 51. I was like, that don't sound right. I'm 52. Just in my 52 years, man, I've seen culture change radically. And I've seen people get in office that say something radical, and then 4 years later, somebody else gets in office and says something radical. And you see this constant shifting of culture. Well, this is okay today, and that's okay tomorrow. And now you go to jail if you say that. Well, 5 years ago, everyone said that. And you see this changing of culture all around you. The thing that I just hold to so much is that God is unchanging. Right? God is doing what he said he was going to do. He is the only true constant in your life, is God. And man, I cling to that. Like a guy out in the ocean that's clinging to a life preserver, that's what I cling to, is that even though all this is changing, even though I was taught this 10 years ago and now I'm being taught something completely different than that, the only thing that doesn't change in my life is God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you cling to that as well. I pray that you understand how important that is that Scripture promises that. And speaking of promises, the last point we're going to make here today is that God keeps his promises perfectly and personally. And that's something I want you to think about just for a second. Let that rattle around in your head a little bit, is that God has also made personal promises to you. And you know, you should think, well, who am I that God has made promises to me? That's the right attitude, because you don't deserve it, but God loves you so much anyway that he's made promises to you. We talked about this on Wednesday night. I can't say this for you. Like, I don't have this kind of authority in your life. But if you're looking for a verse to memorize, if you're looking for a verse to really hold on to, I can't recommend Romans 8:28 verses through 30 more for you. And we're going to talk about it. And we know that for those who love God, I want to emphasize that to you. Now, a lot of people want to steal this verse that aren't living in submission to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They're like, well, this is for everyone. No, it's not for everyone. For those who love God, and I pray that you, and I pray that you're trusting in Christ, your Lord and Savior. So if you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe he went to the cross for you, you believe he was raised from the grave, and now you're trusting in that for your, this is your verse. All things work together for good. Ooh, all things. Notice, it doesn't say good things. It doesn't say the things that I like. It doesn't say that. It says all things. Even the disasters in your life, if you love God and he loves you, you know what? He's using that for your good. Right? For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he will also glorify. Sorry, he said he also glorified. This is what we need to cling on to, is that God makes a personal promise to you in Romans 8:28, is that if you love him, you know what he's going to do for you? He's going to use everything in your life for your good. That includes your trials. That includes your heartaches. That's bad days, that's good days. He uses all those to grow you and strengthen you. And man, I've thought about this, and I think Cindy actually said it Wednesday night. How in the world do lost people make it through the world? And I don't know. I said a lot of alcohol is what I said. I don't know how they do it. But I can tell you this, this is how I personally make it through a dark world. This is how I personally make it through dark times, is because this is a promise that God made to me. And you know what God, there's a couple things that God can't do, and one of them's this, is he can't break his promise. He can't do something, he can't go against his own word. And the reality is this, is he promises you that he's going to use all things to work together for your good. Well, there you go. What else do you need? That's what allows you to get through the day. This is what allows you to go to your workplace and everyone there doesn't like you because you're a Christian. This is what allows you to get through Thanksgiving. You made it. You're here. You made it through Thanksgiving. This is what allows you to get through the Christmas season when maybe you get around family members that don't share your beliefs and don't share your hope. This is what allows you to get through that is because, you know, even that awkward meal, God is using that for your good. And you know what's even crazier is he might be using you to help show the light of Christ to them through your behavior and through your words and through your prayers, right? God has a mission for you, and that's to be the light of the world. And this helps me a lot, and a lot of times I used to hear that, and I'm like, well, everything I read talks about how wretched we are, and I agree with that. But then it says we're supposed to be the light of the world. Like, how in the world can I be wretched and also the light of the world? And I read one of my personal favorite theologians, John MacArthur, says this, is that you're not the light of the world, but you are like a mirror reflecting the light. The light reflects off of you. It's not your light, it's God's light. God shines down on you and he has saved you, and now you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in your heart, and now you are directing that light back out, and that's how you're able to love people, and that's how you're able to be kind to people, and that's how you're able to put up with people, not because of yourself, but because of the love that you have inside of you. And that's the hope we talk about. This is the hope of Jesus Christ. It's so important for us to understand that, right? Couple things. God promises light in the darkness. No doubt about it. Right? Our beautiful sanctuary is so much light in here, but that little candle would light this whole room up. I'm not saying you could read your Bible by it, but it'd light this room up where you could see. You wouldn't fall down. Right? God promises light in the darkness. God has confirmed his promises to us through the prophets and through his prophecies. Remember, don't listen to any other prophecy except in Scripture. Don't fall for those. Don't fall for those charlatans. Right? God has provided his son to be our eternal king, right? He is Lord of our hearts. He's Lord of everything that we do. We're trusting in him. And that God has fulfilled all this through personal promises because he loves you. I skipped that. I'm going to go back and get it. I just popped back in my head. I'm going to read that for you, and I can't believe I missed that. Isaiah 9:7, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. That word zeal, that's not a word that we read a lot. We don't see the word zeal a whole bunch. Zeal means like extreme encouragement. It's like God loves you so much that he has a zeal to do this for you. He loves you so much that this is what he wants to do, is that he wants to do these things for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to love you because he has a zeal for you. He's extremely encouraged to do this for those that love him. And I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me, man, and I can echo the verses, man. If God is for us, who do we care is against us? When he has this zeal for us, he has this love for us. It's an amazing thing. Our hope's not based in chance. It's not based in effort. It's not based in our emotions, right? Our hope is based in one thing, and that's Christ alone. And as Simon said the prayer today, I mean, I couldn't say it any better, is that, man, you're entering into this Christmas season, right? And, man, everything in this world is going to be trying to draw your attention away. I counted yesterday. I came to the office on Friday, and I had over 50 emails about Black Friday deals, right? Hey, you know you want this, Michael, and I ain't gonna lie to you, some of it I was like, that is cool, that's a cool looking knife, that's a cool looking gun, I do like that, but the reality is this, is that's not what this season is about. It's not wrong to give a gift, I'm not saying that. I'll take some if you want to give me one, right? I'm not saying that, but I'm saying is that we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional to understand what the purpose of this season is. And the purpose of this season is to remind us the hope that we have in Jesus Christ that was born in a manger, that grew up sinless. Hey, get your head wrapped around that, a sinless teenager. Wow, that's amazing, right? Grew up sinless, was then able to spend his time in an earthly ministry doing all these things, then went to the cross for our behalf. That's where our hope lies in. Not in Black Friday deals, not in Cyber Monday deals, not in the cool presents, not in the wonderful decorated tree. Our hope lies in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He is the light that shines into the darkness. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the hope that we have in you. Lord, just a wonderful truth that we have. We're so thankful for that. Lord, I'm so thankful for the opportunity that you give us today to gather with like-minded believers in Christ, to sit down and to look at your word, to grow in it, to have your word wash over us, to conform us more into the image of your Son, Jesus, and look less like the world. Lord, I just pray that you continue through the indwelling of the Spirit to teach us and guide us and to remind us, hopefully all the time, but for sure right now, what are we truly celebrating in this Christmas season? What we're truly celebrating, according to Scripture, is the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, that has to be preeminent in our thoughts and our actions. Lord, just continue to give us the desire to be intentional of making things about you and not about the world. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and let us praise him for his amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now, oh, I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Grace that caused my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appear the hour I first believe. Toils and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me saved thus far, and grace will lead me on. The Lord has brought good to me, his word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know there's days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. I always, and I've watched Raphael, he doesn't do this on purpose, but I love how everyone gets louder on the fifth verse automatically. Like, you don't have to be told about that. You know, that's exciting. You're encouraged. 10,000 years is just getting started. And that's the hope that we have, and that's what we're chasing after, and that's where we put that hope. It's a wonderful reality. I have another wonderful reality for you this morning. Is Janet and Bruce have came forward today. They want to become members of Dallasburg Baptist Church, and they also want to come forward for baptism at Dallasburg Baptist Church. Right? I feel like I should say this, and if I'm wrong, you can tell me later. You can get on me later. Is that they have been walking with the Lord for many, 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 many years? Is that, that's enough? That's enough minis. right? It's just that they were raised in a denomination that didn't perform baptism, and so they come forward with that understanding is they want to be baptized and they want to be a member of Dallasburg Baptist Church, right? We've had a couple of those situations here before, and we're so thankful for that. And also, I want to say this, and I said this to Janet and Bruce. Janet and Bruce have been textbook examples of what you do when you want to become a member of a church. They got involved. They got involved in a Sunday school class. They started bringing food. That's always a big plus, right, when you bring food, right? And they literally said, hey, we were in, right? We're all in at Dallasburg. And, man, we're so thankful for them. And we'll be getting forward to that very soon. They're going to be down front for you to come down here and shake their hand or give them a hug or do whatever you want to do. But very excited for how God has moved in this way, right? Also, quick reminder, don't jet out of here. We've got some food out there. We would like to have a fellowship meal with you. And also to remind you, back here tonight at church at 5 o'clock, we'll be having the visitation for Teresa. We had a special prayer for her last week, and we'll be back to do that tonight. So please pray for the Roberts and David family as they begin to navigate that process. And we would love to be back here with you tonight to do that. JT, I'm going to ask you to pray, and will you go ahead and just pray for our food out there too, so no one has to wait. So first one out there, start eating.